This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Sky Blues Extra podcast brought to you by the Sky Blue Tavern with me, Dean Atkinson. Tonight, joined by Dave Moore. Dave, tough week to be a City fan. And unfortunately, it's just about to get worse for you as you've got to spend some time with me this evening.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was wondering what I've done in a past life to
spend tonight with me. That's not very nice.
To have booked a ticket, train ticket from London to Preston, and to have booked a Preston away ticket. But it doesn't get much tougher. I think it's such a shame because we're not that far away. We're not a million miles away from where we need to be. We're just not as difficult as we were last season to score against, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And we're not as clinical, obviously, at the top end of the pitch, and that makes for a very bleak outlook. But it's November. It's not... Everyone says, oh, you know, the barometer's December. It wasn't even really December for us last season. We did start to turn around that form.
I was looking today at sort of like the graph of last season.
Yes.
And we had a really bleak period from Boxing Day where we lost Callum O'Hare. We went on a barren run, didn't beat anybody till Huddersfield, I think it was the end of January. Lost to West Brom then, straight after that, thinking we've turned the tide. And that's when we picked up the points from that position in. And we were like 16th, 15th at that point. Like, it just goes to show that you can turn seasons around. And that's probably what we're hoping for this time around. But I also don't think we're in that sort of same position with the players that we have at our disposal this year to go on that run, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and look, we'll probably speak about Gyökeres and Hamer every week, even though we don't want to. They were very special players, very, very difficult to replace. And I kind of feel like that's my concern at the moment, at the top end. Gyökeres, when he went through a rough patch, just needed to find form. And you knew that he would sort of give it 110% to find that form. And something would kickstart it, and then he'd go on a run. But he knew he was going to play. So he's going to have enough time to play himself into form. At the moment, we haven't got a set of strikers that have got enough time on the pitch to play themselves into form.
There's too much
swapping and
changing.
Because 1 week it's two. 1 week it's one week it's Haji Wright on his own. The next it's Godden coming off the bench. Then it's two against QPR with Sims and Godden. The striker Okikoki is probably the biggest issue that we've got. I mean, the back line is fairly similar, but there's some at least consistency there with McFadden being at the heart of that. Whether or not you think that he should be. is another matter. But
yeah,
he is there and he is the heart of that defence. And there's some consistency there. We've not got that at the top end of the pitch. We need to find that very, very quickly and make a decision on that in yeah. order for people to have enough time on the pitch to actually play themselves into form.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because we had that last year, didn't we? In all areas of the pitch, like, that back line was so settled for the majority of the season, it seemed, especially the second half of the season. Okay, the midfield was swap and changing at random points with injuries and suspensions, which, you know, is give or take, we're expecting that. And that front line was settled as well without, you know, the likes of Callum O'Hare, and we had Casey Palmer out for a majority of last year as well. So you're absolutely right in that regard. And I think if you look at last night, it felt like a game where, well, you could actually say this about the whole season, to be fair, is that we've showed quite a bit of promise. I thought that was a positive. Well. And then, but it's like delivering on that said promise, which ultimately is goals. And we just didn't do that last night.
Yeah, it's so frustrating because we started really well. They did as well. They put us under enough pressure to make a game of it in the first sort of 15, 20.
But we didn't panic though, did we?
We
did. That period.
We
showed really nice composure, I thought.
Very comfortable. We were playing some really nice football, carving out some really good chances. I thought Milan was getting forward well in the right wing. And look, I'm sure we're going to go individually into some of the players a bit later on. But, whether or not you felt he had a good game yesterday, he saw a lot of the ball and he was fairly dangerous down that side, or at least was, you know, in a position to exploit, West Brom. Tats was getting into some good positions, and actually Hadji Wright was starting to show the signs of what we saw at Wimbledon, where he was making those runs and ghosting in behind. And that's kind of what we always have felt that is his bread and butter. That kind of feels to his natural sort of playing power. And that's the other thing that, you know, we mentioned with this minutes on the pitch. One week you're trying to put Hadji Wright in behind. The next you're trying to pump it down Sims's throat. And then the other one you're trying to play it to Godden's feet so he can do a layoff and turn. It's just you're trying to play too many different styles.
It's more changes than on this podcast. The amount of personnel locked up, is it? It's absolutely mad. Talking of changes, there were four, weren't there? We reverted back to that box with Sakamoto and Allen in behind Hadji. Did you think that was the right way to go? I think we discussed it, didn't we, on the last podcast, that we thought it might be the way to go. Was you happy to see that?
Yeah, I think with the two up top, we've not been creating chances, but we've not been getting around the two strikers enough anyway, that they were actually felt like we said last week that they were playing lone strikers anyway. They were so distant between each other.
Yeah.
So I think that was, you know, it was the way to go. A bit more protection in the middle of the park for Eccles and even Sheaf, because Sheaf is a man that will try and do two people's jobs if he feels that he has to. But actually that means that he does neither very well.
I think that showed last night, actually, to us. I thought it was one of his poorest games I've seen in a City shirt for a long time from Sheaf. And I think he was trying too hard.
Yeah. And that's frustrating, because then his head's going to drop. He's going to feel like he's not being able to play his game because he's almost trying to manage everyone else's.
I suppose in turn that drops everyone else's head as well, because there's a lot of sort of expectation on Ben Sheaf to be the catalyst for going forward and doing something. And when stuff not going well for him, then everyone else just sort of feels down in the dumps as well. It's just, you know, that's how it works kind of psychologically at that point.
I think so. I think he has kind of carried us a little bit in over this season already, even though he was injured. Sort of controlling the pace of the game a lot. He sort of sits in that anchoring position and tries to do sideway passes, doesn't he, to try and create an opportunity and create something out of nothing. And he wasn't doing that yesterday. And it kind of just, yeah, I think he'll come off the pitch a very frustrated figure, which is almost dangerous because he's a really good defensive midfielder with some decent attacking, you know, effectiveness at times. But you don't have to always rely on that. But you know he's going to come up with it. And worryingly, if he's trying to do everything now, he's not going to do either very well. So. Yeah, I think he'll be very frustrated at his performance yesterday.
Another thing that changed was the back line again. Louis Binks dropped. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if he's just trying to get... I don't know. I don't think he knows what his team is, does he?
So he's
trying
to get minutes. I suppose you understand on the point that he's probably trying to shoehorn his £3 million centre-half in the team. But at the expense of probably the most solid defender who's shown a bit of promise the last few weeks.
Yeah, not just promise, but I think he's shown a bit of like sort of desire and want as well. Like it almost, I'm not saying it doesn't look like it means a lot, but you know, Bobby Thomas doesn't show loads of emotion, if that makes sense. Neither does Latabolier. He doesn't. At times, I think, you know, Binks has kind of showed that he's wants to become a bit of a fan's favourite, and he's got that sort of, let's not call it a nasty streak, but he's got a streak about him.
he said that wasn't a punch at the tavern when he came. I think it was a bit of retaliation. That's nice to say. That's what I want to see though from defence. Sometimes we could be too nice, right? Well, I think there was a graph today about when we get yellow cards and stuff like that, and like we're like really low down on it, like compared to every other team, we're like off the chart basically. That we just don't seem to be nasty enough.
Yeah, I think that's it. And I think when things aren't going for you, it's even more likely for you to sort of go into yourself a little bit and not, you know, because you can't really have confidence really to say, you know, sort of swagger around and do whatever. And I guess that's what West Brom did yesterday. Actually, they were, you know, booting the ball away when they wanted to. They were riling people up. They were siving people down, you know, because they could, because their sort of tails were up.
All right, let's get into the big moments of the game then. The first one really was the handball from Kipre. I mean, for me, he leans into this. He actually, in the still image of the ball hitting his arm, he's actually looking down at his arm as if he leans
it's not, it. It's not what you'd call a natural position.
No. And he sort of like
your arm.
Brushes
Unless
his
you
arm.
Unless you broke your arm.
Yeah.
It's the only way it could be natural.
Yeah, just flopping around. But yeah, 100% a penalty. And how that's not spotted from the referee's position is beyond me.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a pod every week, couldn't we, on refereeing gaffes? If we, you know,
he had a poor game.
If this all goes really bad, we could just stop doing podcasts.
Ref watch.
We could just stop doing Coventry City podcasts and just do
a pod on the ref at the Cov game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget about the action. Let's concentrate on the referee. But yeah, it was a poor game for him. Actually,
yeah,
all the assistants. Because there's the offsides and stuff in this game again. It's just like, I know we talk about VAR.
Right. I can't understand. I haven't seen them back, and
he's onside for both of those ones where he gets put in over the top, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm not even being biased in this. Like, he is onside.
The reason I felt that is because he ran on like he did a very obvious arc. It kind of felt like on one of them that went over, and you think, well, if he's done that, he's kind of had to get or be onside or to be very, very tight. Down the other end from me, so you know, struggle at the best of times. But
that's because you ain't got your glasses on.
I know, exactly. I did have them on last time. But yeah, he looked onside, and it's just frustrating because then the one that obviously went the other way is again tight. I think we're stepping up as he's
stepping
going
in.
So it's always difficult. But it did look on the still that he's off.
When your luck's against you, it's against you, right? And the two close up ones for us go against us, and the one that should go in our favour as well doesn't.
Yeah.
All these little niggly things, they all add up, don't they? And
they do. And when, you know, you're setting yourself up for an even bigger task. And one of those things of luck is Ben Wilson could have, you know, not caught that shot at any time this season, and it would have just parried out or bounced out, and no one would have been following in.
He doing there? Like, why is he trying to pat the ball down? It's not coming at him at like 100 mile an hour. Like, it's a simple enough catch for a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Good job that Andy's not on here, because he would probably spend an hour just on catching the football.
It's a bizarre one. You know, you don't know it. Has he lost it in the light a little bit? Has it moved more? I didn't think it had enough power on it to do that. But, you know, look, not in the firing line of Ben Wilson. But it's just frustrating because, you know, lots of times he does parry things away, actually, and they'll go safe. He'll get them safe. And I think, and this isn't anything around trying to let Wilson off the hook. Absolutely not. But we haven't really won many second balls all season, and we haven't really followed up and been on our toes all season. And that was just another case where if we had that determination to get to the ball first, it would have been a bad save and you've gone, Jesus, but it wouldn't have ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like we're not, and that's the thing. And we keep saying, well, things will fall for us, but you do make your own luck. And
well, there was a couple of opportunities. Things fell for us last night and we didn't take the most of them.
Well, exactly. And that's it. You know, on the rare occasion that Wright sort of closed down and we sort of closed down as a unit, we got lucky, didn't we? And something happened. But I kind of think, you know, I'm going back to not talking about Jokeres, but I think back to that Burnley away fixture. And I know Jokeres missed that chance, for example, but the way he used to work that line, you're always going to put defenders under pressure and they'll make mistakes. And it was the same yesterday, but for us, you know, the other way around, that had we have had that desire to have got to the ball first, we wouldn't be talking about a goal.
And the be all and end all is that you can't gift goals like that away, though, can you? Because like
when you're not scoring at the other end and when you're not playing well enough to score two or three. And we were doing that last season. We're not doing that this season, and it's just an uphill task. You could visibly see the heads go for sort of 5 or so minutes, and then I thought we grew back into it actually a little bit, but the damage is already done, because West Brom are a very good on the break attacking side, and then we had to push more men forward, we had to take more risks, and you know, the inevitable sort of happened
with the second goal. I think he needs some more Vaseline on those gloves, doesn't he? He's talking about it on the Ben Foster podcast. Not a rival podcast, really, is it? But a podcast in our area, shall we say? But it's like, do we need to get him a new sponsorship deal with Vaseline or what here? I don't know. I would have thought Vaseline does the opposite as well.
Yeah, I presume so. I don't know.
Maybe he had too much on.
Yeah.
And there's a fine line with how much you put on your gloves for it to work properly. I don't know.
But just frustrating, isn't it? Just really, really frustrating.
Talking of something that was frustrating, actually, on when did we play? Saturday, Friday. Did we play Friday?
Yeah.
We spoke about the disconnect, didn't we, between the forward line and the defensive line and the midfield. It either joins with the midfield and forwards or it doesn't. And I thought last night, it was really apparent that we'd worked on that over the last few days, because you saw Kitchen and Thomas really firmly involved in those sort of plays when we were moving forward. I thought that was good to see.
Yeah, we were. And that's the, you know, we played really good football at times and we were getting men forward. I think we've kind of bounced it around the sort of 18-yard box a lot this season, but there was less of that actually yesterday. We were getting the wingbacks more involved. And you know, we were carving out some sort of pressure or opportunities. I think I'd agree. We had worked, and we did look to try and move it a bit faster across the lines as well. We were still slow, but at times. But I thought we moved the ball a lot quicker to try.
It was just that. Make things I happen. Think what we're missing is that quicker run, weren't we, in behind, like someone making that dart that you could feed into, and then it would catch West Brom by surprise. It was all a little bit simple for them to work out, really.
Yeah, I think we're just still in that phase. We said it a couple of weeks ago on the pod that we've not really got someone to play that killer pass like quickly. Everything does have to be thought out. I kind of consciously watched that yesterday to see, and you know I thought Eccles was the best man on the pitch, like first half. I thought he had a really, really good first half. And you know, I think he's really, really improved as a player. There's not that many players that, even in probably in the Championship, that have improved the amount that he has. It's just unfortunate that the amount he's approved is still not, unfortunately, going to be enough to cut it at this level. That's the issue. But everything that they do feels a bit thought out. Even Sheaf is a player that does slow things down, and that's absolutely fine. But before, where you had these, like, you know, one-time passes from Hamer, you're not getting that. So you're not able to catch out defence because they're kind of preempting what you're going to do before you do it. We do need to get, you know, Callum Hare will help that. And I thought Tats will help that as well. They interlinked and played some really nice one-touch football. And so did Tats in the first, you know, I think Alan. We did play.
Yeah, Alan.
It's just a few of those passes were just a bit sloppy, but you could see they were trying to get that.
There was intent there, wasn't there?
Going. Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't fault the intent at all. It's just a lack of conviction, I find. That's where I struggle to come to terms with how the team are at the moment. Sometimes I feel like we force it, and we don't need to force it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's something that, you know, I haven't spoke about, but we really do. Jadis Silva did it a couple of times yesterday. He was isolated on the left-hand side. The cross wasn't on. It just wasn't on. There was no one in the box. As much as I don't want to go backwards, don't force it. Don't lose possession. And he kind of, like, a lot of the stuff that we do when we get into those wide areas, we kind of just dolly it in.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of feel like, oh, we've got to put it in the box. Like, that's my job.
But we could just recycle the ball again and look for that different opportunity.
Yeah. So I think, but I also feel like that is, you know, no fault of their own, where they're trying to force things because they're almost impatient because things aren't happening for them, and they're trying to make things happening. But when you do that, we know that, you know, passes go rogue, passes don't get there because you're just trying almost too hard, or you're trying to, you know, and I think that's where trying to score the perfect goal comes in, you know, because we're trying to make absolute 100% sure that pass is accurate or it's on target. And because we're doing that, it doesn't seem as natural. And yeah.
And the stats as well, I was looking at those today, and the stats tell us that, you know, we're very comfortable in possession and we sort of, you know, we're in control of matches. But when you look at the games we've won this year, we've had less of the ball. Does that say anything to you? Now, Middlesbrough 49.2, QPR 48.3, Blackburn 34.4.
Possibly. I just worry that if those stats flip, you know, then where we're going through a bit of a bad patch, we're even more likely to concede because. But yeah, we were resilient against Blackburn. I think that there's been a lot of talk about people getting far too ahead of themselves around, you know, don't get it twisted. We're in a relegation battle. It's absolutely like codswallop in October, you know, that we're in a relegation battle.
I think they said the same thing last year in September.
Exactly. But if we were in a relegation battle, like hypothetically saying that if, you know, December doesn't go well and we won't go down because of that controlling parts of games, because when you've got the ball, you're probably always going to create some sort of chances. And I think it shows
because against Rotherham, we're expected goals 2.5 last night, 1.8 other games, 1.7, 1.2, 1.5. We've only scored one goal in all of those. So we're expected to score more goals than what we've actually done,
yeah,
which says the conversion rate is the problem.
Exactly.
We're creating opportunities, but the conversion rate is the problem. 50 yeah. shots on goal, only 11 on target in three games.
And no goals.
That is the issue.
That's grim.
We're blinkered by the fact that we're not scoring, but what we're actually doing to create opportunities is enough. It seems to be enough against what we're up against, but it's just the scoring of the goals, and that's where people are getting frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah. No, of course. And you know, yesterday was, again, not good enough. Not taking enough chances. You know, Robin said it, we need to start shooting. If you don't shoot, you can't score.
Can't pass, you can't play.
It's the 101.
The old proverbs.
101 of the old shoot annual of, you know.
Football proverbs 101.
I mean,
it was the Hadji chance, wasn't it? That's the golden opportunity. and it we didn't hit the target.
Yeah, it's a really, really poor, you know, you can compare Sims and Godden and all of that. I'm not sure Godden would have got onto the pass potentially. No. So that sort of rules him out. I'm not sure Sims would have either.
I don't think Sims has the ability to move sort of in transition. Does that make sense? When the ball's in transition, he sort of like waits for things to happen, then starts to move.
Yeah.
Whereas Hadji was anticipating that happening.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good last night, actually, from him. His anticipation was really good. And that is something going forward, I think, will be really, really nice to see in the link-up if we can get Sakamoto, O'Hare and him all together at the same time.
That's the, you know, I'm about to contradict myself because I've always said that Championship players don't make mistakes and we shouldn't be looking to always gamble on them. And I always say that. I stand by that. But you're right, he was on the move. And I think he is that player that kind of preempts like something going wrong rather than something going right. And it's not going to happen a lot for you, but it clearly, yeah, he was on his toes yesterday and it was a golden opportunity, but he's got to score that. He's got to score that. When you look at the two ends of the pitch, regardless of whether that West Brom, Asante was offside, what a finish, mm-hmm. you know, and I can't believe people are screenshotting and still in saying like Ben Wilson.
It's nonsense. That is utter nonsense. No keep in the world really has much of an opportunity. And maybe the likes of Edison might be out a little bit further before the ball is there, but that's not the way we play. Like, we don't play with that high keeper in a sweeper position. It's just not the way it works.
Yeah. So
people are blinded by what they see in, you know, the top teams. And
well, yeah. And it's just the problem of where football has been screenshotted to an inch of its 90 minute game, and you know it's like politics. You can tell a story whatever way you want to tell it, you know. That's why we have spin every, you know, week in Westminster, and it kind of feels a bit the same that people are overly trying to spin, you know, screenshots and stills to back up, which is just
their
the
argument,
fact that
yeah.
in the heat of the moment someone couldn't get to the ball or someone didn't get a hand to it, or, you know, and you're trying to, you know, sort of...
They're not taking that passage of play into consideration, basically, of what happens at that point. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Positives from last night?
Yeah, lots. I think there's
I thought
there's
Sakamoto
lots.
Played really, really well. I think he seems to be getting better and better all the time. I mean, the poor fella must be thinking... What he signed up for is it? You know, is it the UFC with the way the referees have let treat
yeah,
him go against
him? He's not getting
him?
A lot of protection. He isn't getting a lot of protection out there. People still haven't got wise to his chopping onto his other foot.
I love that.
Which is...
I absolutely love it. Surely they're watching tape. Surely.
Roll the tape.
Roll VT. Chop, chop, chop.
Yeah, like he's. You know, it's just. And that's what I was saying yesterday. This will come. That box was the first time we've kind of played that this season. And clearly they've been working on that in training. There was lots of little intricate passes, triangles. It was just that final one, which was uncharacteristically, you know, just bad. Like there was one where Tat sort of it pinged off and it sort of hit Jamie Allen in the face, you know, and he kind of wasn't expecting it to go there. He thought he was going to get it to feet. There was another one with Callum O'Hare that was a bit similar. But once that, you know, once those balls aren't getting chipped up by accident or taking a bobble or whatever they're doing, then, you know, we are going to create chances. And you know, where we were trying to break them down, West Brom were camped a lot of time.
I've got to say, we've got to give West Brom a little bit of credit. I thought defensively they looked okay last night. There was a couple of times where they were like, at sea, but we couldn't, you know, sort of capitalize on that. But I think overall they looked solid, and that's what a 1-0 going 1-0 up against the run of play does for you. It gives you, you know, sort of buoys you into defending better. It's just that's the way football works.
Exactly. So I think there is positives. So I think I think the box is a positive. I think it's very, very difficult. Does he stick with Hadji Wright, you know, away up at Preston? Doesn't really feel like his sort of game, if I'm honest. It
doesn't
feels
really feel like
Godden
our sort of game, to be honest.
Yeah, it feels like a Godden, you know,
it
sort
does,
of try and hurry them up. a little bit about him, will put himself about a little bit. Kind of going to have to do that at Preston. So I feel he'll probably drop out, but it's a shame because we kind of just need some consistency. And I thought he showed some glimmers of that. I still think Sims is probably our man at the moment of what we've seen, but then he's arguably had more minutes than anyone. So
yeah, I'm with you on that. Man of the match?
Man of the first half.
Josh Eccles.
Josh Eccles. And I thought, you know, I thought Tats was played very well as well. I'll go for those two.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Right, if things could get much worse for the Sky Blues, next up a road trip to a place where we haven't won in 23 years, and it's a long old trip, Dave, isn't it? Especially for you on that train. How much that
Yeah,
costs?
I've had a stinker. I don't know why I've booked it, to be honest. It really is. I'm considering my life choices.
in all areas of life, like being on the pod.
Just my return train ticket to Preston. That's the only
on the Great British Railroads.
Yeah. I mean, with any luck, they'll perform how they usually do and I might not get there.
Yeah. But just kinda give me a refund and I'll watch on iFollow for £10. But it feels like I know we've always gone into sort of Preston like sort of doom and gloom, knowing that full well what's about to hit, but feels like the perfect time to kind of break this hoodoo, doesn't it? It's the Cov way of doing things.
Yeah, not just that because things have started to click with us, but also they've been...
It's gone backwards, you know, for them.
Awfully inconsistent. And it just goes to show what a mess the Championship League is, you know, because you've got them, you know, drawing with Rotherham and we get beat by Rotherham, but then they got hammered by West Brom. And I think if it wasn't for a couple of mistakes and offside, we wouldn't have got hammered by West Brom.
2-0 is not hammering, is it?
No, that's what I mean. But like Preston got beat 4-0 at home to West Brom. And what I'm saying is if it wasn't for that, we probably would have drawn yesterday. Yeah. So on the face of that, it's, you know, Rotherham have beat us. It's just such a mix of results in the Championship, isn't it? That you can't really ever look at the form table and say, this is how it's going to go.
It's a battle of two teams not seemingly scoring a lot of goals and not many wins in the recent sort of history. And it's actually 10 years since we've beat them at any point, home or away. Like, we say it all the time, but surely this is the time to do it. You know, it's 4 losses, 3 defeats for Preston since September. No wins. Now's the time, City. Got to go in there and feel like we can do it this time.
Yeah, and, you know, you can... Players are obviously a bit lacking confidence at the moment, but no one's got that history. You know, they're all new players. Like, there's not really anyone that's attached to...
Godden and
struggles.
Pads and Kelly, really, is it? And,
exactly.
And Wilson, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got to go up there. But it can't really get much worse. And I don't mean it's been really bad, by the way. I'm not one of these that think we've been absolutely terrible. I think we're just a few...
Things going goals. Our way.
Yeah, we're just a few things going our way and a few goals away from actually putting together a half-decent run. It's just, I suppose, worrying around, you know, who we've got to play. You know, Stoke at home, and
but like you say there, this division's mental. Like we could like seemingly go and beat Preston and go on a, you know, a 5-6 game unbeaten streak.
Stoke mad. At home. Millwall are not putting any trees up this season. They've got the issue of a manager that's you know, going on. And then Plymouth, you know, at home. You know, there's definitely points there. So it's December looks bleak.
Yeah. Don't look too far ahead. We've got an international break before then.
But yeah, if we can get something at Preston, which I feel like we probably can, and a draw and a good performance is good enough
to break the streak. That's for me. That would be absolutely fine. Just to sort of nullify sort of the doom and gloomers, shall we say? Because the atmosphere felt a bit tense last night, and I would like. That came over on the Sky broadcast. Probably felt the same in the ground. I think Ross was saying to me today that a few people around him were, you know, making comments, which is fair enough. You know, you're entitled to do that. But I just feel like we just need a kind of half decent result to go in our favour, and then that sort of breaks the sort of the tie of what's just happened over the last week, and we start again in this period.
Yeah, I mean, myself included. You know, I was frustrated watching it yesterday and similar people around. You know, you it's not about paying your money. You go and you hope to be entertained. And
sometimes we get caught up in that, right? Like you get caught up in what's happening and that you don't see the sort of the bigger picture of things.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, people, you know, it's the entertainment sports industry, isn't it?
It's the fickle world of football, mate.
People are paying for to be entertained, and at the moment they're not. Well, depends on where you're looking at it. But I don't think they are.
What do you class as entertainment?
Well, you winning know, games. Fulham at home 4-1. You know that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen all the time, right? Like
that's football. But of course, but you know,
surely
what I'm
got
saying
enough
is,
people
I think
watch
people
this game
can't.
Enough.
People can't see the sort of light through the trees, can they, at the moment? But, yeah, there's not a lot that's going on. I think people should be sitting there thinking that we play some nice football. The phone-in I listened to on the way back, I actually listen to it every game now because the designated driver, Nick, pops it on every time. And it's quite a good laugh, if I'm honest.
There are a few characters, right, on there.
But Oggy came in for a bit of stick, you know, around saying that we've got to give people time and stuff like that. I kind of get that. And also, I always listen to Robbins's, you know, post-match interview. And Fads yesterday, he sounded particularly down, really, after that. And kind of almost reserved to the fact that it's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm. But he's the type of character you want that to come from. Because he won't stand up for any nonsense. So if he's thinking that, surely he comes in today into the training ground and go, lads, that just wasn't good enough last night.
Yeah, you know, but then, I don't know, he sounded almost too nice, like, last night. It was interesting.
Yeah,
he sounded
in front of the media, though, right?
Yeah.
I've spoken to enough professional sportsmen to know when they're putting on a brave face in front of the media.
Yeah, but he kind of touched on Hadji Wright and saying that he's still trying to settle in the country, he's moved with his family, and you know, Barry in Bedworth doesn't really give a fuck about that. He just kind of wants to see results. Do you know what I mean? And it was an interesting interview, really. It's almost trying to, I kind of understand, but trying to get the fans back on side. But I don't know.
What I said about hammering the point home last week. Every time they're in front of the microphone, I want them to keep saying it, because that's the only way that sort of fans start to,
I think,
to realize they've got some. You know what? They've actually got a point here, and you know, there's a bigger picture to this whole transitional year.
Yeah.
So Preston, obviously, they've very similar to us in regards to how we set up last night with regards to the box. However, they did set up to a flat back four versus Hull, which I think was to sort of counter how Hull play with three behind the striker. And they lost 1-0, albeit with some sort of dodgy ref decisions when I look back at the highlights. What do you want to see from us to sort of go up against Preston, do you feel? Do you want to see the box again? Yeah.
We've got in, yeah. Yeah. Probably the box with Godden, you know? And, you know, go and give me 45 minutes of just sheer
pressure.
Like, pressure.
Work rate and pressure. Yeah.
And then say the same to maybe Haji Wright or Sims. At this stage it doesn't really matter, I don't think. Because I think the goals are gonna come from intricate passing, breaking down, and someone like Jamie Allen breaking in, or something coming out to Godden or falling to someone. I think that's kind of, we're gonna, because you know, Preston, it's kind of feels like that's how we've scored in the past anyway.
Against Preston, especially. Yeah.
And I think that's what we've got to hope for, is just put enough pressure on that they fold and, you know, make those intricate passes. So I don't really worry too much about who's leading the line. I just think that we've got to just put them under so much pressure.
I thought last night looked quite good on the bench as well. It was a lot more sort of strength and depth, players to sort of change systems as well, which I thought was good to see.
Yeah, that looks better.
We need to utilise that a lot more. Again, there was another graph today that we don't make enough substitutions at the right time. I don't know how they sort of work all this shit out, to be honest, but Robbins doesn't make the right substitutions at the right time, and when he does, it's too late or something like that. It's like we're so against the run of play of everybody.
I mean, I didn't need a graph. I probably
could have told you.
Probably could have told you that.
But it's nice to see it in graph form, Dave. You know, I like Excel spreadsheets and graphs to back up what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, let the data decide. I agree. Yeah. So I think, you know, we're looking for a performance. We're looking for, probably will go back, you know, still stick with the box formation, and probably would start with Godden.
I want to see more shots as well. I know we've taken 50 in three games, but with Freddie Woodman in goal for Preston, he's not one of these keepers who has the greatest sort of form in keeping hold of the ball, and he hasn't been in great form the last month, and he's pretty poor under sort of any pressure on him. So I want to see that a lot more. Put him under pressure. Let's do what West Brom did to us on that back line last night. Go in behind the back line and put pressure on the goalkeeper. Let's see if we can pick up something. You never know. That might be the way that we break this hoodoo, is a shitty goal, you know, from, you know, a ricochet or something like that. Maybe that's the way forward. But gambling, that's what Haji Wright did. He gambled on an opportunity last night. I want to see more of that.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely.
I want to see more of.
And, you know, and I think, like you say, there's not been a better time to go to Preston. They're better form. And, you know, we need a reaction. It's almost the perfect storm, isn't it?
It's a brewing. You take a draw then? You're going to say something like a score draw? Or
I'd like to see a score.
Especially that trip. How long is that to Preston? 3 hours on the train? With a change, maybe?
The same amount of hours that we've gone without a goal, pretty much.
What's that, 90? You're trying to make me work for 270? I'm not trying to work it out. Just over 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is about that, yeah. So it's
beverage of choice on the Great Railroad up there? You took a keg last year, didn't you?
Kegs have been involved at times, but it's not the biggest of followings from London this week, so just quite tame, I think.
Just a couple of coffees.
Yeah, a couple of coffees.
So 1-1 or 2-2?
1-1, I'll take that. Yeah,
I think I'll take that as well, just to sort of break the streak. And talking of break a streak, that's a nice way to sort of end proceedings tonight. Big thank you to listening, Dave. Thanks for joining me as well. Make sure to like and subscribe on all the socials to search Sky Blues Extra. Got some really fun things on the horizon, so keep an eye out for those. Big thanks to the Sky Blue Tavern for their continued support. We'll be back, hopefully, fingers crossed, celebrating 3 points on Monday. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.